Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Really fun to watch Jose Quintana be himself. Now, that is obviously one of the best possible versions of himself, striking out all those guys.
His game score yesterday tied for his best ever.
Wow.
And with the game against Baltimore on July 4th, 2013.
He is the first pitcher to strike out more than 10 people in back-to-back games for different teams since Randy Johnson for the 1998 Mariners and Astros.
Houston.
Yes. In fact, those are the only two people since 1900 to be traded, or just no matter how it happened, those are the only two pitchers since 1900 with 10 or more strikeouts in back-to-back games for different teams. That's a cool, weird stat. And Quintana was just awesome. So efficient. It was his 100th pitch, right, to end the seventh inning. He could have come out and given you some more if you wanted to, but it was a 6-0 game at the time, so why bother?
I feel the need to remind you, Matt Spiegel, that in his last nine starts, John Lester has a 5.67 ERA, an 8.31 OPS against, and a whip of 152.
In his last nine starts?
Yeah.
Wow, that's rough. I didn't realize it was that high for the nine starts.
Yeah,
it's all those first innings, man.
And Quintana's WAR is better than any starter in the rotation this year. two of whom have a negative WAR, and two of whom are barely above, barely positive.
Fangraphs WAR or Baseball Reference?
Baseball Reference.
Okay, because Fangraphs, I know, uses FIP more so than Baseball Reference does. But that's interesting. So even with Quintana's first two awful months, he has a better overall WAR than John Lester for this season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, according to Baseball Reference, Lester is not even a positive pitcher this year, and Quintana's got a 1-4.
Mm. And according to Fangraphs, Lester is a positive pitcher for this year. So it's interesting. Over the last month, Jose Quintana, 2-0 with a 1.82 ERA, a whip under 1, and more than 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. Remarkable. And the value of having a guy like that who you know is going to give you a quality start. You know it. And some days he's going to be possibly this good. The value for a lineup when you've got that is just massive. And you saw a lot of relaxed hitters over the whole weekend. And Baltimore's starting pitching is awful. We know that. But, yesterday and some of the other days as well, some real good approaches. Schwarber going opposite field another few times. Addison Russell with two home runs, including a big go-ahead one on Friday night after they almost blew the lead. Nice to see that from Addison Russell, obviously.
Yeah, well, it's nice to not be down 6-0 in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of helps a little bit.
Yeah, kind of helps get you going a little bit, right?
Well, your hitters aren't pressing as much. It's just a much different feeling.
And then the guy who's just absolutely on fire is Wilson Contreras. Goodness, 4 hits yesterday, 8-for-14 since the break is Wilson Contreras. And he said, "We're back." Here's the sound of it. It's a little bumpy from the locker room, but worth hearing. Here's what Wilson Contreras said about the Cubs. "We're back," says Wilson Contreras.
I think that if you get starting pitching, then you'll be back. And if you don't, you'll be back where you were.
Chris Bryant was asked the same question, and he laughed. He said, "I don't know."
Well, there's been a lot of stops and starts, but they've been short. They haven't been, at least over the course of three games.
Mm-hmm.
Very much, at least in the last month. There's been, a good game, a bad game, good game, bad. Arrieta is the perfect example. Good start, bad start. Good start, bad start.
Yeah.
Put together 5 in a row, get Hendricks back healthy, get him pitching well, get Lester back to being Lester, have Arrieta be more consistent, and then talk to me.
It's all about the starting pitching consistency. You and I completely agree on that. And
you can't say you're back until you string together, 10 good starts out of 12 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then probably win the 10 games out of 12.
Yeah.
More than likely, as you're just doing enough. Boy, how good can Contreras be? What are we talking about for a ceiling on that guy who, since he's been put in the cleanup spot, has been on fire, shows you hitting to all fields, running the bases so well, getting quieter defensively, and his energy, man, just the energy that that dude has constantly. And when he says this, like he said yesterday, quote from Wilson Contreras, "I feel like I'm the heart of the team. I'm behind the plate, and I want to play with my energy no matter if I hit or not. I think we need that energy for the second half, and it's going to be there." He's a confident dude playing with all sorts of belief, and he's always played with that explosive energy. That's some contagious stuff and some valuable stuff, especially if he's producing.
He has now played in 158 major league games.
So this is a great sort of season-esque sample.
With 515 at-bats, 575 plate appearances. So he's at 24-80 with a .280 batting average, .348 on base, an OPS of .834 and an OPS plus of .119.
Wow.
So he's right at a season.
Wow. And the way he throws out runners. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's already in conversation for one of the better catchers in the National League. I mean, where are we? How many better catchers are there right now than what Wilson Contreras appears to be?
Overall, it's a good question. I like what you said about his energy, about his personality.
Yeah.
Because you need guys like that.
You have
to have somebody do it, and it has to be somebody who's performing.
Because
when you're bouncing around and being that guy and you're terrible.
Hey, why don't you do something?
Yeah.
Why don't you go sit your ass down? But no, he's actually producing and performing, and he can be that guy.
And this was such a lifeless team before the break, going into the break. But, you know, that's part and parcel of being bad when you're just, or mediocre, at least, when nothing's going. When you don't get decent starts, and you can't pick it up and throw it to first, and you can't get a hit with runners in scoring position, you're going to look pretty lifeless. Pretty good chance of that.
Tomorrow at this time, we'll be talking to Joe Maddon in our regular Tuesday slot, and it'll be Barry Rosner and myself, as Danny Parkins has gone all week. He's on honeymoon in Italy. This segment is brought to you by AutoZone. Hurry in, save big. Get a $20 AutoZone gift card by mail-in rebate when you buy select automotive batteries. Restrictions and details apply. Limit 2. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
To answer your question, the only catcher with a better WAR in the National League at this moment is Buster Posey.
It's the only one in the National League with a higher WAR than Contreras as of right now.
As of this moment.
Wow. This is James on the Northwest Side, who's on the score right now. What's up, James? How are you?
Oh, hey. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring some history into this trade. That about 33 years ago, the Cubs made a trade for a pitcher who also had 4 wins. And he went 16-0 and should have been 16-1, should have been 17-0, except for the Durham miscue. And so it's just an interesting history with the whole Quintana thing, you know, with Sutcliffe 33 years ago. I just was out driving, and I wanted to call in about that.
Thank you.
Okay. Very different situations. Do you really want to get into all that?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
This is Big D on the south side on the score. Hello, Big D.
Hey, fellas. Barry, let me just say, first of all, whoa.
Okay? thank you, Big D. I appreciate that.
So I just heard you guys say that Quintana in the seventh inning, very efficient with his pitches on his 100th pitch. And I would agree with that. And I'm a big-time Sox fan. And my thing is this. Do you think he's out there being himself, throwing with ease and confidence because he has a better core behind him, as opposed to being on the south side where he felt like he had to make the pitch to, you know, because he knew he wasn't going to get run support or something of that nature? I just want to hang up and listen to you guys expand on that a little bit. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, D.
Sure can't hurt.
Yeah, we got a big old sample of what Jose Quintana is, so we know what he is. But in terms of like this year, Yeah, I mean, there's the physical stuff of throwing in the World Baseball Classic and maybe that throwing off the timing and everything.
But distractions of the rumors and everything.
How does that not get into your head?
Yeah.
How
does it not? You know you're going.
You know you're going. You don't know when. You know the pressure is on to be good, to get the most for your team.
You don't know where.
It's an odd pressure to be good so your team gets more so you can then leave when you're universally lauded as a good teammate and clubhouse guy and everything. It's a really odd situation to have to pitch in.
But he's, you know, Big D's right. I mean, and it may be stating the obvious, but he's had to pitch in these 1-0, 2-0 games virtually his entire time on the South Side. And I can't promise Quintana that he's going to get this run support because it hasn't been consistent this year. But there's a chance. He's got a better chance now of being in some games where he's got a big lead and he can just relax and do his thing. Pitch fast, throw strikes, just pound the strike zone.
You know,
get ahead in counts. He seemed to always be in pitcher's counts all day, not putting himself in bad situations. Cubs get some runs. He doesn't come back and go 3-0 on the first guy and put himself in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really comforting.
The value of... You know, I keep thinking, what must it be like to be the Dodgers as a team and know that every fifth day you're getting Clayton Kershaw? And Quintana's not that, obviously. But I've always said that there's nothing more valuable in baseball than a true top-of-the-rotation number one. Because not only of what they give you every fifth day, but the knowledge that that's what you're going to get every fifth day. It's a day when the hitters can breathe easier. And
yeah,
then if you have success, that can transcend. The day before or the day after, you're almost universally around the confidence of having watched that guy. It's just like knowing you've got that dude is such a powerful thing to a team.
Yeah, you can't quantify it, I suppose. But the truth is you ask any major league player, especially a veteran hitter in a lineup that's been struggling, and they'll tell you it's awfully nice to know that on this particular day, they only need a couple of runs. It's like looking out at the bullpen and knowing there is nobody out there who can end this game. And that's when you look out on the field and you see guys kicking the dirt and turning around, peeking over their shoulders and wondering, all right, who's going to come in and blow it today? And that puts pressure on your defense. It puts pressure on your offense. It's the same way with an ace, with a starting pitcher. It's particularly nice when you have a few of those guys.
Yeah,
I mean, think about last year. Every day, it was the same thing. Every day, those guys knew they were getting a quality start.
That's the thing. You knew you were going to be in the game every day, and you didn't have to do much, and you figured somebody would do just enough. And it transcends. It absolutely does. We will continue with some conversation. I want to hear about your correspondence with, was it the Sweet Meteor of Death?
I got a postcard. I will tell you from whom. When we come back, right here on the Spiegel and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegs and Barry Rosner right here on 670 The Score. Who sent you a postcard, Barry?
I got a postcard addressed to me at the Daily Herald on the back. It is the return address is from Mr. Caldera.
Caldera.
Yeah, it's from Wyoming. It's from Yellowstone. And it says, Dear Barry, with me being out in Wyoming, I blew a few geysers when I heard you dump me for that stupid chunk of space rock. See, I was going to vote for the super volcano.
Yeah, you
and we didn't have the votes.
You've been hoping in general for the super volcano to destroy the world. Do you think it's time, right?
Yes, long past due, frankly. But last year it seemed particularly appropriate. And when we went to the convention, we didn't have the delegates, so I threw all my support behind the Sweet Meteor of Death, which really angered the supervolcano. I'd heard this from various people, and now I have confirmation of it.
So is the Sweet Meteor of Death, is that a real thing? Like, supposedly there's going to be a giant hunk of space rock that's coming after us?
It's going to happen. It's inevitable. Didn't you see Armageddon?
No.
It's going...
Happily, I did not.
Oh, it's really good.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except the wrong people win in the end.
And
humans won.
And Aerosmith was singing a Diane Warren song, which was horrific for all involved.
There's a lot of bad about that.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't
so,
see it.
So he calls me a traitor, and he says, why do you hate me more than McGowan? Peace, love, and eternal destruction. Sincerely, the Yellowstone supervolcano. P.S. Go F your hat, which is a Vancouver Canucks fan reference. But I thought that was... I thought that was appropriate. Look, I apologize to the super volcano, but I thought our best chance was the sweet meteor of death. I mean, really, at this point, I'll be fine with either one. You know, I can't predict which is going to happen first, but there is a lot of activity, actually, if you've been following it on Twitter. A lot of activity, a lot of earthquakes under the supervolcano. And so I'm hopeful that it could be any minute.
A couple of thoughts here.
Yeah.
Number one, you know, the fact that the supervolcano took the time not to tweet at you or anything like that. But
he actually says he's not on Twitter or else he would have come after me on Twitter.
Okay, but instead he went and he got a card. So I assume he went to a store of some kind?
Well, they at Yellowstone National Park, I'm sure they have a gift shop. It's, it's from the...
From the supervolcano himself.
Yeah.
And how did he... how does he write? Like, where does he hold the pen? And how does he put a stamp on an envelope and such things? Do you have any? Can you give me any clue on that?
No, I didn't really think that much about it. Mm-hmm. I don't blame you for asking questions like that. I don't have those answers. He spelled traitor wrong, by the way. And
I'm betting that might have been intentional. I think he's got a little sense of humor. This
could be.
Super volcano.
Could be. No, I don't know how he accomplished it. Maybe he got help. Maybe he got some help.
You know, one day, if you're lucky, you will die. Appears to be what you want.
When, Matt, when?
Barry, you're living to at least 100. It's definitely happening to you. There's no doubt. You're going to outlive everyone that you've ever loved.
Uh-huh.
And
That's a short list. Oh, I thought you meant who loved him.
Brian Gertsch, this is the card if you can see.
I love
this
that.
Watch 670 The Score.
That are you know, The Score is one top misanthrope. Our number one misanthrope is destined to live to 100. I think that's excellent logic. Let's talk.
I'll be doing these shows with the old sports writer.
Yeah, you will be.
Who keeps getting in the building somehow, by
Does
the
he?
Way. Yeah.
Well.
I saw him downstairs before. He was flipping up garbage with his feet the way guys do at the racetrack when they're flipping up tickets to see if they can find a good voucher that somebody threw away.
That's understandable. This is Dimitri in Lake Station, Indiana on 670 The Score. Hello, Dimitri. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's up, guys? My pleasure. Thank goodness for the sports talk radio pioneers 25 years ago.
There you go. That's this place. Hey. Still going. Still at it. What do you got?
Hey, maybe you guys were talking about it. They didn't get much of a chance to listen too much over the weekend, but we're talking Cubs. Man, how nice was it to watch Quintana pitch like that? I mean, that was just something else. But anyway, the reason I called, I'm sure you guys have noticed it. Have you guys just noticed how much more patient we've been that last series? And we were so good at that last year, and I felt like we got away from that the first half. And, you know, I know it's only three games after the break, but we were just taking so many pitches, working long counts, and I just think that was our success last year. We're trying to get back to that.
Thank you, Dimitri. A lot of good at-bats over the weekend, that's for sure. It's funny, but not, you know, everybody goes back and forth. I forget which game it was. I was listening on the radio. I think it was it Saturday? Yeah, I think it was Saturday, where Ron Coomer's talking about what Chris Bryant's approach might be against Wade Miley. You know, like maybe you want to kind of relax and, was it Wade Miley? I forget which game it was, which pitcher, but like, you want to kind of relax, let him maybe get himself in trouble. First pitch, ambush home run, you know? And Cooper said, well, that shows you why I'm up here and he's the MVP. Because these guys, that's what they do. They kind of go, they toggle back and forth between setting up a pitcher or setting up a league to think that they can just, you know, just go ahead and throw a few pitches and they'll take them and then they'll pounce on you early. So I haven't looked at the pitches per plate appearance for this particular weekend versus everything before. I do know that a lot of people looked very confident and very good, including somebody we haven't mentioned, which is Jason Hayward. A pulled home run for a bomb on Friday night yesterday, that triple to left center over Adam Jones's head was an absolute thing of beauty, including his mouth as he's rounding the bases, like, come on, get down. Go ahead, get down. It's good to see Jason Hayward looking like that. Here's a scoreboard update. This segment on The Score is brought to you by AutoZone. Hurry in, save big. Get a $20 AutoZone gift card by mail-in rebate when you buy select automotive batteries. Restrictions and details apply. Limit 2. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Matt Spiegel, the British Open is this week, much to your chagrin. I will be helping you today and there's such defeat on your face.
The British Open is not, I'm not chagrined that the British Open is happening. I'm just chagrined about what is about to happen here.
Yeah, because today and tomorrow I'm going to give you British Open odds and help you find a winner.
Okay.
Which I know is important to you.
What are Arnold Palmer's odds?
Arnold Palmer is dead still.
So not good then.
Not good.
Okay.
What do you want from me?
Bernhard Langer.
Well, he's going to be on this list. He absolutely dominates the senior tour.
I know.
Although he blew a lead yesterday.
I thought I'd just go with old guys that I know for a little while. Give me Bernhard Langer. You got him? No, now you got to search for him. Screw that. Give me some of the guys I know. Barry, give me some of the guys I know. Say the Adam Scotts of the world.
Well, Adam Scott is 28-1. Not in particularly good form. Your favorites are DJ at 12. Spieth at 14, Fowler at 14. Wow, Rory McIlroy has fallen to 18. Rory McIlroy has changed putters 10 times in the last 10 weeks. He's missed his last three cuts, including at the Scottish Open this week, the Irish Open the week before. He's just not in a good place.
And what just happened with him? Some public spat for McIlroy, right? Somebody called him out with something?
A couple of weeks ago, I think there was something. I don't remember exactly
what
it was.
I'll look.
But DJ has not been the same since he fell at the Masters. Ricky Fowler still hasn't figured out how to finish on a Sunday. Spieth is Spieth. He'll hang around. But he didn't do much at the U.S. Open or at the in the Masters on Sunday. Had a great chance, did nothing. Sergio is 16. My guy is Jon Rahm, who is down to 16-1. I got him before the season in February for all the majors at 66-1 or better. He's been the best player in the world for the last 12 months since he was low am at the U.S. Open a year ago. By the way,
low amateur.
You'll like this, Matt.
I doubt
it. His college coach was Tim Mickelson. He retired from ASU when Jon Rahm went pro last year. That's how good Jon Rahm is to become Jon Rahm's agent. He is now also on the bag for Phil Mickelson. His caddy is Adam Hayes, who used to caddy for Russell Henley.
Oh, okay. So there's your... while Googling Rory McIlroy, I didn't find anything regarding whatever I'm thinking about, but I did find something for you about Rory McIlroy. Here's what he said about his recent struggles. I'm not that far away.
I'm not that far away!
He doesn't think he's that far away, Barry. So
they're going to sign Carlos Pena... Keep Aramis Ramirez and Alfonso Soriano. Because they're not that far away.
There it is. That's phenomenal. Hey, when we come back, a segment, a conversation with the new White Sox prospect and the former Cub prospect. Eloy Jimenez is on The Score next. Keep it right here on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's White Sox Director of Scouting Nick Hostetler talking about Eloy Jimenez and referencing Jed Hoyer as a guy who put the comp of Jermaine Dye vaguely on Eloy Jimenez.
I mean, not Fagley, not Josh Fagley.
No,
did
no,
you
no.
say Fagley?
I said vaguely.
Sorry.
Oh, Josh Fagley. Where are you, Josh Fagley? He's probably playing somewhere, right?
Oakland.
Is he playing a lot? That's right. He was there. Is he still playing a lot?
I think so.
I don't watch a lot of Oakland A's games. That might surprise you.
He started like a game against the Sox. That's all I remember.
I appreciate you. That's
the only time I see the A's is when Mike Trout is on my TV late at night. It's the only time I see Oakland.
This segment is brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. You haven't watched a lot of Oakland A's games since Bob Guerin didn't win Manager of the Year, if memory serves.
Probably my best prediction of all time.
I like the 3 years that you picked the Royals before they finally
so
put it together.
Unfair. That's just so unfair. The call of Bob Guerin as Manager of the Year, and he was first manager fired.
That is remarkable. That takes a lot.
You know what that is? That's baseball acumen.
Yeah, right.
That's
there.
What that is.
Hey, we all have our moments. Jeff Passan picked Kyle Schwarber to be National League MVP this year.
I thought he was going to hit 40 homers.
Everybody thought he was going to have a massive year. And maybe he'll turn it around. Looked awfully good.
Can't say I saw that one coming.
No, most people didn't. Hey, join 670 The Score's Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. I know those guys. They're broadcasting live 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. from Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse as they host Javi Baez and Albert Almora Jr. That's we. It's the Cubs On Deck Luncheon Series on August 1st, presented by Xfinity, AZEK, and Office Revolution. These things are awesome. They really are. And I think it's $50. And like the three-course Del Frisco's meal is basically worth that to begin with. And then you get to hang out and watch a radio show, including an hour of Javi Baez and Albert Almora Jr. right there in front of you. These things are really fun. On sale now at 670thescore.com/on deck.
I like both of those guys very much.
You do, right?
I wish they were playing every day.
I know you want them both to play every day. Interesting.
I know it's hard to do. You got a lot of options. You got a lot of different things you're trying to accomplish. Yeah. I just really would love to see what Albert Almora could be if he got the chance to play every day.
Yeah. You know, there's times that I remember talking with Joe Maddon a couple months ago saying, do you have too many people that you have to try and find time for in terms of this? If Albert Almora was Matt Caesar, then who cares when he plays?
Right.
You know, right. Just let him sit there and play every third or fourth day and pinch hit or pinch run every once in a while, defensive replacement, whatever. Who cares? But if it's Albert Almora and you think he's actually got a chance, if he gets some time.
See the home run he hit the other night?
I did.
So professional. I mean, that was just a beautiful swing. Perfect load, perfect balance, getting on top of the baseball. It was just beautiful.
Hmm.
And he murdered that baseball. It was mean what he did to the baseball.
Hmm.
Now, I watch him play. Obviously, you know what he can do on the field. I mean, in the field and on the bases.
Yeah.
Like to find out more about what his upside is offensively.
You said perfect load, and the load being as the pitch is coming, batter steps back and loads up all the weight so he can then explode forward, right?
It's just, I was going to say clubhead speed. It's, yeah, it's just, it's bat speed through the zone and squaring up the baseball.
Made me think of Aaron Judge because of how well Mark Teixeira described Aaron Judge's swing during the home run derby. Really good stuff. And it struck me, and I was going to ask you, I don't know, I have not seen much of Mark Teixeira because I watch MLB Network. I don't watch ESPN's baseball coverage. I just don't.
I didn't even know Teixeira was working there.
Right. And then I'm sure you didn't watch Home Run Derby because you didn't have
to. Well, I was in here and we did actually have it on. It looked very entertaining.
It was incredibly entertaining. And Mark Teixeira was a huge find for me. I was like, oh my God.
I didn't even know he was on.
So much better than I could ever have thought. It is 670 The Score. It's Matt Spiegel and Barry Rosner with you. And pleased to welcome right now on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. He is Eloy Jimenez, the White Sox prospect, the former Cubs prospect who joins us now. Eloy, thank you for the time. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely, absolutely. Fans would love to hear from you. A lot of excited White Sox fans and a lot of Cubs fans who are sad that you're gone. It's been an interesting time. What's it been like for you the past couple of days, Eloy? What's life been like for you?
It's kind of like a little sad. It was the first 2 days, like my first 2 games with the Chicago White Sox was versus my old team, Chicago Cubs. That was like kind of little weird for me, but at the same time, I feel like this was biggest step for me in my career, and I just say thanks, God, thanks to Chicago White Sox for giving me the opportunity.
I've heard that you're a guy who is very, very positive, Eloy, that you like to be in a good mood, and you're usually capable of putting yourself in a good mood. Where did that come from? That come from your parents, or is that just something that's in you to try and be in a good mood when you're playing games?
It's just like me. That was my personality. I try to be the positive way and positive moon all the time, like good moon. Take the time for a smile all the time, and that's That's Eloy Jimenez.
Do you have a baseball idol, someone you enjoyed watching when you were growing up playing baseball?
Yes, Miguel Cabrera and Adam Jones.
And Adam Jones?
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Miguel Cabrera, because of the way he hits to all fields, power to all fields, or why Miguel Cabrera?
Miguel Cabrera, because he's like kind of the same guy like me, like smiling all the time, and he, like, I try to be like him, like hit him and down, that's with power and contact. And Adam Jones, because he's kind of the same guy, and his defense, I like his defense. Like, I try to be like him in the field.
Yeah, that's a good one to try to be like in the field. That's a beautiful center fielder, Adam Jones. So,
yeah,
did you have dreams or dreams of playing center field and being that guy right in the middle?
I try, but you know, that is the organization decision.
Yeah, they put you in the corner, understandably. So it's Eloy Jimenez, the White Sox prospect, with us here on 670 The Score.
What would you like to get better at? What do you think you need to improve at to be a better baseball player?
I think keep doing what I'm doing and just get more experience, more getting more discipline in the play and try to play hard every day like I do all the time.
What's it been like being a young guy from the Dominican now in America and bouncing around to different teams? What has been difficult for you, Eloy, in terms of adjusting to life over here?
Like, the first was the language. Like, when I get here, I don't understand anything. I speak English like...
Join the club.
And after that, just kind of style here. It's kind of different because in Dominican, every day is kind of... like, you know what is the day and what is when it's Monday, like when it's Tuesday. But here, for me... All the time, already Sunday.
it always feels like Sunday here?
Yeah, like already Sunday for me. I don't know why.
What is it about Sunday? What do you like Sundays?
No, it's kind of boring for me. Like I don't know.
Well, you're doing great with your English. You really are. It's impressive what you've learned in a very short period of time. Was it weird playing against your former teammates the other day? I saw the video of you hugging every single one of your teammates as you went to the other dugout. How strange was it to play against your friends?
It was really strange. Like, you moved one clubhouse to the other one. But, like, just I say before, is as soon as the game starts, everything changes, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I'm feeling strange, like, weird my first at bat, but after that, I'm feel okay. Like, the game is like, my first at bat versus Cubs was kind of, like, real weird, but after the game started, yeah, that was, like, okay for me.
Eloy, have you worked on the English? Like Barry said, it's, I mean, good for you for working on it or for having it be where you are. Have you been working at it and trying to get better at it?
Yeah, I like every day I learn every day something new because like my English right now is kind of okay or good, but I know I can get better every day.
Well, it's really cool because I remember once talking to Pedro Martinez. You know Pedro.
Yeah.
And he said that was one of the best things he did as a young player was learn as much English as he could. And then he would deal with pitching coaches and there was never a problem once he got to the big leagues. So that's going to help you, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, that's going to help me because the hitting coaches or the all the staff came working with me and on his translator for that. And that is good for me. Like, I feel good for that.
When do you think you can be in the big leagues? Do you feel like you're getting pretty close?
I feel, but, you know, the organization is that made that decision for me. Like, I just work in, and I know, like, really pay attention to that.
Understood. Well, Eloy, you're going to have every baseball fan in this city is going to be watching you, whether they say, oh, we wish we still had him, or, yay, we have him now. Every baseball fan in Chicago looks forward to you getting to the major leagues, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eloy. Appreciate the time very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you. That's Eloy Jimenez. Right there on 670.
Can't imagine the adjustment.
Right?
I just can't imagine. And
none of us can.
I spent a lot of time in major league clubhouses with guys who had spent a good portion of their lives trying to learn the language, and it's not just that adjustment, it's everything.
Sure.
It's everything. An incredible culture shock.
Yeah.
But congrats to him for how far he's come already,
right?
Learning the language.
And he said it right at the beginning, thank you for the opportunity and the time to talk. That's very cool. This segment brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. We will transition with Bernstein and Goff when we come back on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.